Please be seated. I'm often asked why we read the Passion Gospel on Palm Sunday. It's really sort supposed to be a celebration, isn't it? One last hurrah before Holy Week. We always start the service out in the courtyard. We mimic that parade that that took place that day. Usually we have the children's choir who are out there really cute with their cute little song about donkeys and waving their palms, and there are just smiles all around. It's a happy time. And then we process into here. We're waving our palms, Hosanna in the highest, all glory, laud, and honor, King for a day. And then the Passion Gospel interrupts our little celebration, doesn't it? And to explain why, I guess I could go back to 4th century differences between Eastern and Western liturgies, but frankly, that's all pretty boring. And I'm not sure that that's really the reason that we hear the Passion Gospel today. You see, I think we read the Passion Gospel in its entirety on Palm Sunday because the church is trying to cram Holy Week all into one day so that people don't miss it. You see, I'm not going to see most of you till next Sunday, till Easter Sunday. Most of you will choose not to be a part of the liturgies or the services this week. And that's not a criticism. It's just a fact. Well, actually, it might be a little bit of a criticism. Because this parade that you've joined in today is actually going somewhere. And because we know the whole story, we know that it ends triumphantly. But before it does that, it wanders through the painful streets and porticos of Jerusalem. And this is not a story about God triumphant in glory and great majesty this week. It's not. Instead, it's the story of a vulnerable and a weak God. God who is persecuted and eventually killed. And of course we want to skip over that part because we know the end of the story. But that is why I think we read this on Palm Sunday year after year with the hope that maybe the story sinks a little deeper into our hearts and our minds. What happens this week happens because everyone wants a Messiah, a Savior, but no one is quite sure what that's supposed to look like. The very people today in the parade who are shouting Hosanna are the ones that shout crucify him in just a few days. And I don't know that we're that much different today. I think that maybe time and culture and preacherly overinterpretation has made Jesus just as difficult to recognize today. But to know who Jesus really is, we only need to look at the cross. And it's there that we find a lot about who God is as well. And maybe that's the best we can hope for on Holy Week, is that we are able to just brush aside a little bit of our preconceived notions about who Jesus is, who the Messiah is, who the Christ is, who the Savior is, and just see Jesus for who he is, one of us. It's a whole lot easier to go from Hosanna to Alleluia. It's a whole lot easier. But when we do that, we miss out on one of the great understandings of our faith, an understanding that gives our own lives meaning and hope. And it's that before Christ died for us, he first lived for us. And in this week so long ago that we today call holy, it was a horrible week. But yet, in the midst of it all, it was a week that was remarkably blessed by God. And even today, holy lives are not easy lives because faith doesn't insulate us from life. But they too can be lives that are remarkably blessed by God. That's the promise of all this. That's the point of all this. And I believe that it's only in that place, that you and I can honestly ask ourselves, Have we just made him king for the day? Or is he truly the Lord of our lives? Will you please stand?